Shvius Perik Yud Mishnah Aleph 10:1. We now begin a new topic altogether. The halachas of Shvius, so the Shemitah year, have two separate applications. The first being Shemitah's Karkaos, the resting of the land, which applies only in Eretz Yisrael. And that was the topic of our first 9 chapters. This 10th chapter discusses Shemitah's Ksafim, the release of loans. And that applies both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. The consensus of the poskim and the psak of the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch is that nowadays it's only rabbinic. The requirement of relinquishing loans is a rabbinic requirement and it will not be a Doraisa, a Torah requirement, until Yovel is back in effect, and that requires the majority of Jews to be back in the land of Israel. The Ramah takes even potentially a more lenient position. In any case, our mission will focus on the basic applications of this principle. What's clear, what's important to understand, is that the halacha differentiates between loans per se and other types of debt. And although loosely we'll refer to Shemitah's Ksafim as debt relief or the relinquishing of debt, that's not strictly true. It's specifically loans that are released and not other kinds of financial obligations. Most notably, the Mishnah will distinguish between store credit. That is, say you go to the, like in Israel, you have the makolot, you walk into the small shop and you buy a carton of milk, and you don't pay now. It just goes on your tab till next time. That is store credit, and hakafas chanut, it's called in the Mishnah. And such store credit is not considered to be a loan, because really it's payable immediately just for the sake of mutual convenience. The basic tacit understanding is the next time or one of the next times that the purchaser comes back into that shop, he will pay his tab. And therefore the shop owner is just sort of extending this credit for the sake of mutual convenience, but not agreeing to it being a loan, which would have some future specific payoff date. And I think the easiest way to understand the difference between a generic loan and this store credit loan would be that the difference is that there's a specific date upon which it's payable. That is to say, if there's no specific date on which it's payable effectively right now. It's just a matter of I'm letting you not pay me now for whatever reason. So that is considered store credit and is not released by the Shemitah. Whereas if it's a formal loan which has some specific due date, then it would be released. Also worth noting, of course, is that such a scenario is not a loan where I'm giving you money and expecting money in exchange. It's actually the other half of the transaction, where the storekeeper gives milk and expects payment for the milk in exchange. So the failure to pay immediately makes it just an extension of credit, but not a loan for some future repayment in a subsequent date. Okay, so let's see the Mishnah inside. There's a lot to talk about. The Mishnah says, Shvius, the 7th year, and actually the halach is that the relinquishment of these loans, the Shemitah's Ksafim, occurs at the very end of the 7th year, at the proverbial stroke of midnight, on the end of the 7th year, or in fact it would of course be Rosh Hashanah with Shkia. At that point, or Tzeis Chavim, whatever it is, at that point the loans are released. So the Mishnah says here, Mishametes Esa Milva Bishtar Vishalo Bishtar. The Shemitah passing, the Shemitah's Ksafim, is effective on releasing loans that are made both bishtar with a contract and velo bishtar without a contract. Here, at least according to the halacha, we go like Rav and Shmuel, that the contract we're talking about is one that specifically encumbers some asset. So there's a lien in the contract which says, like a mortgage, I'll lend you $100,000, but I have a mortgage on your home. So that, because there is a loan with a lien, there's an encumbrance on your home, the mortgage, that's called milva bishtar. The fact that it happens written on paper is not relevant. There's no collateralization, no lien. Then the loan on paper is as good as a milva shlo b'shtar. It might as well be ba'al peh, a verbal commitment. So the point of the mission here is that both verbal as well as written contracts, and even written contracts that have specific liens on assets, are all released in the Shemitah year. And that's significant because we'll see in a little bit that when there's a real asset that's a pikadon, that's like a collateral, it's acting as surety, that security is in the hands of the lender. So then it's as if that loan's been collected already and Shemitah will not release that loan. So let me just clarify. Our Mishnah is saying, if I have a lend you money and I in the contract of the loan, it says, I have the rights to collect from your home if you don't pay me, that's called a milva bishtar and Shemitah will release that. However, in contrast, if I lend you $100 and instead of having a contract which says I could collect the $100 from your property, I actually take your fancy pen, which is worth $100, and I hold that as my surety, that's my pikadon, so then Shemitah would not release that loan. The $100 that you owe me would be collectible after Shemitah. It's a bit based on a pasuk, but conceptually, the reason why is because it's not that I have a claim on you, I actually am holding already the repayment in my hand. I have that pen in my hand, so I'm holding it already, almost as if it's been collected, and therefore even though I'll have to give you back your pen if you give me the money, but Shemitah wouldn't release you from that loan because I'm holding that surety, that pikadon in my hand. So again, here the Mishnah says that it's Shvius, the seventh year, is Mishmetis es milva bishtar. If there's a contract, even if there's collateral, but it's just a lien, a financial claim on a future asset as opposed to a physical possession of some asset, so then the Shemitah will release it. And same Mishlo bishtar if there's no contract at all, or there is a contract but there's, you know, lien in the contract. In contrast, hakafas achanut, store credit, an extension of credit, as I described before moments ago, and a mishmetes that isn't released, because it's not considered a loan, it's just the other half of a transaction, and the storekeeper's not lending you money. They're just letting you not pay immediately for a mutual convenience. The Mishnah, however, says it's a gray line, and if the im asa milva, if the shopkeeper converts that store credit into a loan, that is to say the storekeeper agrees, you know, you can pay me back on the 30th of the month after you get paid, that became now a loan, not just store credit. There's a fixed date at which it's repayable. And that being the case, it's now been transformed from merely store credit that wouldn't be released by Shemitah to being a loan, which is now released in the Shemitah year. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harishon Rishon Mishamet. Rabbi Yehuda, who the halacha does not follow, reasons that each time that you go back into the store and you buy another bag of milk, another bag of milk, another bag of milk, each time that when you bought that second bag of milk and didn't pay for your first bag, so you already see right then and there that you're not paying immediately, and therefore the original credit is being converted from not just a credit, and now you owe the store some money for the first bag, but now it's become like a loan because you could have paid it but didn't. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that each time you go in, in subsequent times that you go to the shop without paying, the previous debt converts from being store credit, which is not relieved by the Shemitah, to a loan made by the store to you, which is indeed released in the Shemitah year. However, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda, meaning store credit, even if it's multiple episodes over a period of time, doesn't change the fact that it's still store credit, payable immediately, and is not released by the Shemitah. Sechar Sachir, the payment for a worker, a person's wages. Enem mishamet, again, those aren't released. That is to say, of course, a person works for you for whatever it is, a month, and you haven't paid him yet. The fact that you didn't pay him before the passage of the last day of the Shemitah year doesn't mean you're overlooked from paying him. You have a debt to him, but it's not a loan, and therefore it's not released. But there's similarly this kind of gray area, v'im asao milva, if it's converted to being a loan. That is to say, for example, you make up with the worker, okay, listen, I owe you the money, but I'm going to pay you in a month when the employer gets, you know, my next deal closed. So we've transformed it from being wages that are payable immediately, and even if they weren't paid in the interim of the course of the month, it's because for mutual convenience, we do, you know, payroll twice a month or something. But if I make up with you, I'm going to pay you now in 30 days in some future date, and it becomes payable then. We've converted the wages owable, which wouldn't be released by Shemitah, to being a loan, essentially, that's being extended effectively from the worker to the employer to be paid in 30 days, and now the employer gets relief at the passage of Shemitah, would release that loan. Reza Mishamet, Shemitah year would actually release that loan. Rabbi Yossi has an interesting idea. He says that's true for most workers. However, kol malacha sheposekas b'shvias, any type of work for which wages were earned, and that work is forbidden during the Shemitah year. So in other words, this worker was hired to pick grapes, and now he wasn't paid before Shemitah rolled around, and now he hasn't been paid throughout the whole Shemitah year. So Then Shemitah will mishametes. Shemitah will release that money owed to the worker, because since his work can't continue through a Shemitah year, it's as if it's automatically converted from being some wages owed from the employer to being a loan being extended to the worker, and therefore once Shemitah rolls around and finishes actually, then mishametes, it will release the obligations of the employer to that employee. However, again, the halacha does not follow Riosi here. V'she'enu posekes b'shvias, any other kind of work, such as Riosi, which wouldn't stop during Shemitah, meaning the employment is the guy's a lawyer or a bricklayer or something, and he could work in the seventh year. So then, enu mishametes, Shemitah rolling around wouldn't relieve the employer from paying his employee even after the end of Shemitah and the start of the eighth year in the cycle.